This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So good morning, everyone. Welcome back. A lot of new faces, a lot of new, old new faces, some brown tanned faces, holiday faces, people with white shirts that still want to feel that they're on the beach, you know, and But it's good. It's such a privilege to bring the word this morning, and wow, what can I say? A new year, 2020. Well, let me just ask, who's excited about 2020? Okay, one, two, okay. I'm going to ask that again. Let's just see. Who's excited about 2020? Yeah, amen. Don't worry. On the half of this year, we're going to lift the roof. I must say, when I went into 2020, and that evening we spent some time with friends, and I had this butterflies. It's like those of you that have been in love for the first time. I just had this butterfly feeling running up and down. Because 2020, for me, is just this, as if the Spirit has really brought something new and birthed something new for this year. Oh, and I'm just really excited, because what was the first thing that I noticed with 2020? And when you think of 2020, what do you think? Vision. 2020 is perfect vision. So what does it mean? At 20 feet, you can see exactly what you need to see. But here's the thing. In our lives, very few, and actually no one, will have 2020 vision till they die. Why? Because it's just how we made. So, in order for us to have this, the only way to, for me, as I see it, to have 2020 vision, is if we have the Holy Spirit with us. Because in that and through that, we receive the promise of the Lord. It's like consulting an optometrist. We receive that promise, and that's how we obtain the 2020 vision. That's how we maintain focus on the future and what's ahead. And at the end of last year, I spoke about crossing the finish line, and many of us responded to that place of saying, hey, Lord, I want to take your hand, and I want to cross this finish line of 2019, but I just need that little help. I cannot do it on my own. And many responded. And the awesome thing is, God didn't leave us when we crossed the finish line. He stood there and he's waiting for us. And we finished it strong, but now he does have our hand. Because the moment that you responded, you took his hand. And now we're in 2020, and he's saying, okay, now this is how we're going to do it. This is a new time, a new year, new vision. And although you might not see everything, I am going to show you what you need to see. So I'm busy reading through the book of Joshua, and I'm just inspired by the way that by Joshua's 2020 vision. And how he saw things, believing in the promise that God gave him, and not because he has seen, but firstly, because God gave them, all of the Israelites, a promise, saying that, you know what, I will give you this land. Then Joshua went in, he saw what was there, he came back, and he said, hey, we can take this because God said it is our land. And I believe that our 2020 vision, what Joshua saw back then, is no different than today. The circumstances are different, yes. And we all find ourselves in different places and situations. But the promise of the word remains the same. Everything and nothing less. God said in the beginning, everything and nothing less. All I am, all I have. So our response to that, what is that? should be the same. And that's what I'm excited about. Because a vision of 2020, we will not obtain it by ourselves, but through the Spirit. God says, yes, we're going to take this. And I'm pretty confident that this year will be much more challenging. You might not have wanted to hear that this morning, but last year was a challenging year for many of us. Anybody want to agree to that? Challenging year, many decisions, difficult things. But did we all get through it? Amen. Are we going to step into this new year thinking that all the challenges are going to be gone? No. You write one exam, you step into the next boat, you get a more difficult exam. But the Spirit of the Lord is with me. He's with you. And in that and through that, we can hold on to the promise of the Lord, saying that I will never leave you nor forsake you. So my inspiration for this message comes from the book of Joshua 3, or chapter 3, verse 7. And we're going to read pretty much that whole chapter today. And I want to break it down into three things. So if you have your notebooks or tablets or all the things here, take it out and stay at Joshua 3. So I want to read from verse 7. Which says, the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. The first promise. And that's the first point for this morning. Three things that you need to remember this morning when you walk out here. The three P's. And that's not the green things that you find you cook with. The three P's. First thing is the promise. The Lord did for Moses, Joshua, and even Solomon in Chronicles 29:25. He did this. And he said, I will exalt you in the sight of all Israel, in front of all people. And I believe God loves showing off with us. Because we are his prized possession. We are something so dear to his heart. And he loves showing off with us. And that's why it says in Joshua 1:5, and I've said it many times before, and hold on to that scripture. Make it part of your daily journey this year. Is that I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Jesus goes in Matthew 28:20, he says, and behold, I am with you to the end of the age. Promises that we can hold on to. We can be sure of. And again, in my last sermon, I said, there's a response in every conversation or situation. It's our response, you know, how we respond to the trial, the suffering, or the moment, the situation. But then there is God's response. And you know what God's response is? He chose us. Each one of us sitting here this morning, he chose you specifically and individually for a specific purpose, a specific reason. Even though, in spite of all your shortcomings and rebellion, who doesn't have rebellion? Okay, I just see the smiles and I'll leave it there. So response is imminent. It's so part of the promise, because you either choose to hold on to it or you choose to let go. But God's promise should be the foundation of how we start this year. Because if you hold on to that promise, a promise that cannot be shaken, promise that cannot be broken down, because the word of the Lord is truth. It has stood the test of time for many years. And if we, luckily we don't believe it, but if it was a BBC program, it would have said for millions and millions of years. But God was before and above time. He's the one that created time. So in our logic, his word has never failed in all of existence. Romans 8 verse 31 says that, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Anybody want to hold on to that? Leave, yes. I want to say, if we have the Namibian or the South African army protecting us, but I'd rather go for the army of the U.S. or the Russian. If you are part of that circumstance, and they have this objective to protect you, they're going to do everything in their power. But God is so much stronger, so much more. And He confirms, or He says these words, that if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can stand against us? So your question now may see, okay, but listen, we've started 2020, the 2020 vision for 2020, so what does it have to do with the sermon? And I just want you to listen to this. About 35% of all adults have 2020 vision without glasses. Only 35%. And we have one or two optometrists here that can verify that. Contact lenses or corrective surgery. With corrective measures, approximately 75% of adults have this degree of visual acuity, while the other 25% of the population just doesn't see very well. And this comes from Dr. Tim Johnson from the University of Iowa. So only with corrective measures are we able to see 20/20. So getting a better lens, operations, contact lenses, and so on and so on. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Because if we don't continue with these corrective measures, remember, we're talking about the promise now. And the promise is the Word of God, the foundation of everything. In order for us to have that 20/20 vision, we need to continuously be in the optometrist room. Say, hey, Lord, Holy Spirit, you need to get me and help me with the corrective measures in order to see 20/20. Not what I want to see, but you, what you're seeing in me, through me, and for this year. And that's the only way. We need to be in that consulting. We need to engage, consult, test, respond to His teachings and His guidance to keep us on track. Everybody with me? Still following? John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all the things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you." Again, another promise. Another promise. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find your rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." An invitation to partner with us, to partner with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit in order for this year for us to see 20/20 vision. You see, with Joshua and the Israelites, it was exactly the same thing. They had to partner with the Lord. And this was this journey where God says, "I will exalt you in front of all people, in front of the whole Israel." The Israelites came to a place where this is the next phase of their journey. They are going into the promised land. They are going because Joshua saw the promise. They are going because God said, "Yes, this is the land that I'm going to give you." And also, this is a new generation that will be entering the promised land. But here's one key thing. That in this promise, before Joshua took leadership, there was one key thing that Moses did. And we're going to read that in Exodus 33, verse 15 to 18. Moses came, and there was a communication. He said to the Lord, "Lord, I'm very sorry, but I don't think we're going to go into the promised land if you send an angel with us. It's either you or we don't go in. That's a bit of a standstill, and I want you to just see it in his light. And it says, and he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not you in your going with us, that so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. And with the promise that the Lord made there of going with Israel, his presence with Israel, they could cross the Jordan River into the promised land. And that brings me to the next point, the second P of this morning. Promise, number one. Secondly, the presence. As we build on the promise, I'm going to read from Joshua 3, verse 8. It says, And as for you, command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Specific instruction. But it holds a key for the Israelites to cross the river. And it says, as we build on the promise, what we've just read, we have to understand that without the presence, we cannot enter. Significantly, because the Jordan River will continue to flow in front of us. It's only by the presence of the Lord that things will start drying up in front of us. For us to go forward, we have to seek the presence of the Lord more fervently in order to hear him speak to us. Because how do you know where to go if you haven't heard? All of us know we want to go forward. We want to go in a certain direction. But have you had a standstill with the Lord and say, Lord, what is my 2020 vision for 2020? Am I in that place of hearing your voice correctly, moving forward with what you want me to do? Not with what I want to do. And if you read from the beginning of this chapter, you'll see that the instructions is quite clear on what God wants the Israelites to do. The priests had to walk with the Ark of Covenant in front of all the Israelites. And when they get to the river, they had to put their feet in the river. Now here's the thing, the Israelites were not allowed 2,000 cubits close to the Ark of Covenant. So in today's term, that's around about 900 meters, pretty much a kilometer. So thinking that from here to our old building, that's how close the Israelites were allowed to be to the Ark. That was back then. Today, we don't have that space in between us. Because why? The presence of the Lord is right here, through his Spirit, right here with us. And he makes his dwelling place in us. So we don't have to walk that far, but we have to follow the instructions. Listen to the instructions. But yet I say, seek the presence of the Lord. If the Lord is already here and the presence is already here, why must we seek it? The thing is, God is a God of relation, of personal, intimate relationship with each one of us. You know, by spending time in his presence, we will begin to see the road ahead. But what happened the moment that the priest put the soles of their feet in the water? The water began to dry up. I think this is the most exciting part of this whole chapter. The moment that the Ark of the Covenant, together with the priest, put their souls in the water, the river started drying up. Now it says that the river started drying up in David's time. I think I've got a picture up. Oh, Adam. So down here we have the possible route where Israel crossed the River Jordan, and it's accurate. The reason being is that Jericho is in front of them, and I'll get to that now. But if you look at Adam, that's way up ahead. That's way up from where the river starts flowing from. So this part here down by the sea, the Red Sea, that started retracting there. But the word says the river started heaping up, which means it's a phenomenon that nobody will be able to explain. It's something that happened there that none of the people there would be able to explain. All they could see was they knew something. They knew about the Israelites. They knew that they were entering or crossing the river and entering the promised land. And number three, they knew about the God of Israel. Here's the thing. We don't always see the heaped up water in our journeys. In front of us, we see a dry riverbed. We see a path that God made for us. We see the water retracting. Not because of us, but because of the presence of the Lord. And we start walking. But this was to glorify the Lord. Because all the people, and I mean, the word says there were seven different people in the promised land. All the Ites, I'm not going to name all their names because it's a tongue twister. But you know, all the Ites knew, and especially Jericho. And we'll get to the pursuit now where we say the reason why they crossed where they had to cross. But the thing is, God will continue to dry up a river for us. And it's not just always, we will take that easy crossing, but somewhere in our speck and our work of, our line of work, our influence of what we have, people will see the heaped up river. People will see a different way, a different thing of how God made a way for us. An inspiring message to those of who we are in Christ. And just as the optometrists help with the corrective measures to help us see 2020, so does the Holy Spirit come. And He gives us this 2020 vision. But it's not going to happen if I just make the appointment but doesn't follow through and go and see Him. My appointment needs to be there daily, in and out. And our 2020 vision for 2020 will not fade as long as we engage, consult, test, and respond to the teachings and the presence of the Lord. First thing is promise. Second thing is presence. And the last one, the pursuit. Joshua 3, 9, verse 17. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "Here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out before you all the Ites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man. And when the soles of the feet of the priest bearing the ark of the Lord of the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan." Oh, that's such a beautiful thing. Shall rest in the water. "And the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with a priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priest bearing the ark were dipped in the brink of the water, Now the Jordan overflows its bank throughout the time of the harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down towards the sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel passing over on dry ground until the nation finished passing over the Jordan. Pursuit, listening, and carrying out the instruction. Only after 40 years were Israel able to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. Why? Because they didn't listen. So God will come in our ways and he will say, okay, are you ready to cross? And then we did not stand still, we did not listen, we did not seek the presence of the Lord as we should have. And he said, okay, but let's just go again on this journey. And he will take us again in our 40 years journey. He will bring us back to the beginning and say, okay, here we are now. And that's why many of us in the beginning of a new year stand at this place and say, hey, new year, new resolutions, we'll just let go of the old and we'll see. But I've had a look at my faith goals from last year, and not everything has come to pass. So for me, there's a journey of saying, Lord, but what is there in my life that I need to change, that I need to do differently, that I need to see in your way in order for that to come to pass? And I want to encourage you to do the same. By sitting down, being still, and listening, so that you know what you can trust God for. God gives clear instructions. And before the Israelites crossed, they had a clear instruction. Specifically, how to do it. And the only way they could cross is in actually if God rested in the waters. Isn't that an amazing promise for us to pursue? To go and sit in the presence of the Lord on the dry ground, pursuing what he has for us this year. But after 40 years, the obedience of Israel allowed them to cross the Jordan River on dry ground. Do we get it right? No. We go through that journey many a time. But thank goodness for the grace of the Lord. Eh? Amen to that? Thank goodness for that. But here's the other thing. Where did they cross? They crossed exactly opposite Jericho. Specific reason for that? Yes, because God made them aware, because that was their next, that was going to be the next target. And you know, God will continue to do this in our lives as well. We might stand in front of this river in a place of saying, hey, Lord, I do not know how to cross this. And then we go and we say, Lord, I'm going to hold on to your promise that you say that you will never leave me nor forsake me, that you will be with me till the end of the age. Lord, I'm going to pursue and seek your presence. You're going to have this amazing God moment and more God moments to continue from there. And then you will begin to see in the circumstance that your river is starting to dry up. But in front of you will be an enemy waiting for you. But your focus will not be on the enemy, because the enemy will begin to be afraid of what they see. Because the promise of the Lord is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We walk through the presence of the Lord into the new land, into the promised land, into the victory of something that is in our way. If they had their little boats and trying to cross the Jordan River, it wouldn't have happened. They would all end up in the Dead Sea. because a river was overflowing their banks. For a river to dry up in a heavy rainy season, it doesn't happen without God. His presence is the only thing that took Israel from a cross. And a crossing Jericho was a message to them that, you know what? God is with Israel. And Israel is with God. Because no matter what, if you don't cross the river with the Lord, you're not going to cross it. But here's the thing. If you look at verse 17, it says, "Now the priest bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan." This is a very significant piece of scripture from this chapter, because this is the first time that Israel is called a nation. They had the promise of the Lord. They pursued the presence. They pursued the correct instructions that God had for them. And in that and through that, God said to them, "Now you are a nation." 2020 vision for 2020 is that my excitement is that everybody around us will start to see that we are part of God's nation. And that our vision will be to have everyone around us on the same level of being part of a nation and not just be a people. And I trust that this is a word for our congregation this year to say, "Lord, we want to make people part of the nation of Jesus Christ." See, and just as we took hands with the Lord at the end of last year to cross our finish line, we're going to take hands with him to cross the River Jordan this year. How are we going to do that? By holding on to his promise, seeking his presence, and remain in pursuit of the confidence of crossing this river. Is everything going to work out? Is everything just going to be amazingly sorted the moment that you step out of the presence of the Lord? No, absolutely not. Has it been like that before? No, absolutely not. But God's not surprised or caught off guard with certain circumstances in our lives. The same with me. If I go through a difficult situation, God is not surprised by it. But he sometimes allows it so that we can learn something. We can be still. We can listen. We can pursue the dream that he has for us. And we're going to continue. Next week, we're going to look at the how part of crossing the river. There's amazing things in the book of Joshua that we can take with and saying what's a practical thing is that we're going to look at next week and how are we going to do it for this year? Because it's easy for us to say, "Hey, let's tap into the Spirit. Let's seek the presence of the Lord." How do we do that? Where do we start? How do we make it practical? But this year, we are going to pray more. We're going to be more effective in our worship. We're going to trust the Lord, the Spirit, to create a heart in us that would want us to reach out all the time to those next to us, those that needs to see and be part of the nation of the Lord. We're not going to be just a people of the Lord this year, but we're going to strive to be a nation in the Lord this year. I'm going to ask the ushers to hand out the communion. Thank goodness for a beautiful wife that helps me with words and forgetting it. But I want you to take communion this morning, not from a place of saying, this is what we do every first Sunday or every big Sunday of the month. But I want you to take this communion this morning and just be very quiet. Be still. Say, Lord, certain things have worked out for me last year. Certain things are working out for me this year. Certain things are not working out. But I have one sure thing that defines me, defines my life, and that is of what you have done for me and the choice that I made for you. God is a God of promises, of relationship. And by taking communion this morning, we say, Lord, we identify with you. Bring to remembrance, as Matthew 11:28 says, through your Spirit, bring to remembrance the things that you have taught me. Bring to remembrance the promises that you have already made in my life. And that is what I want you to sit down with. This is your quiet moment. This is you stepping in into the water. This is you stepping into the water, letting your feet touch the water. Pursuing the presence of the Lord, pursuing the promise, holding on to the promise, because that is a foundation. We cannot build if the foundation is broken. And maybe some of us need to just think this morning of a promise or something that God has given me. And that be brought to remembrance, saying, Lord, I need to hold on to that for this year. So, Lord, we identify. And we want to break down certain things in our lives that doesn't need to be there. And we want to drink into your Spirit. We want to tap into your Spirit. We want to be with you, consult with you. So let's just take a moment. I'm going to do one prayer for us, and then each one of you, I just want you to be quiet with the Lord. Father, thank you. As we take the bread and the wine this morning and we break it, Lord, it's to bring to remembrance what you have already done for us on the cross. Breaking a way open, Lord God, drying up a river for us that we may pass. And Lord, let us not forget that crossing the river is not a thing we do on our own, but it's because of your promise and your presence. May we hold on to that this morning as we eat the bread and drink the wine. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask that the band, if they are close by, quickly come to the front. And we're going to end up with that song again, Everything and Nothing Less. While we remain quiet, and we remain in just this precious time. Don't let it be just a Sunday thing. Don't let it be just a Sunday excitement, but let God allow you to Spirit continue to convict you to really spend time with him during the week as well, to build on what you receive here this morning. And it's not because of what I say, but it's because of of who God is. Just because of who God is. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are grateful for this day. We are grateful, Lord, that in your presence, we are made undone. And that, Lord, by stepping into your presence this morning and this week, Father, we pray that you will come and continue to break down the things that are not supposed to be in our lives. And Lord, we want to choose this morning to hold on to the promise. To hold on to the promise, Lord, that you have given, not just today, but since the beginning of time. And Father, as we hold on to this, I pray that we will continue to seek your presence more fervently. Father, we will continue to step into to the brinks of the waters, the difficult moments, the difficult times, Lord God, the crazy times. That we will continue to step into that without fear, without hesitation. Pursuing your promise, pursuing your presence. Pursuing your correct instructions. And that as we become undone, as we become less of ourselves and more of you, that Lord, our rivers will continue to dry up. That you will be glorified by your nation. I just sense that, this morning that as we're going to continue to sing this song, I just want to call out two groups of people to the front. And on my right-hand side, this side, if you've never given your life to Christ, if you are here for the first time and you want to make that recommitment, say, Lord, yeah, it's been a difficult festive season, it's been a difficult year, but I want to take 2020 with new vision, with new excitement. You've never given your life. You've never made a decision. And here I'm not saying because your mother and your father was a Christian, now you're going to be a Christian as well. I'm saying that here's the thing. You make that decision. If you've strayed from the path, if you haven't been honest with God, here's a moment. Here's an opportunity to say, Lord, I choose you with my heart and I confess you with my mouth. I want you to come to the right-hand side as we're going to sing this song. And to my left-hand side, we crossed the finish line, but for some, it's been a very challenging time. I just sense, God wants to lay a hand on you this morning. It's not going to be big prayers. It's not going to be a lot of words, but it's just going to be a hand upon your shoulder. We're going to trust that the Spirit continues to do the work. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.